Allah Ta'ala has stated in the Quran Hakim, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ. Whatever you have, whatever you've been given, it will be finished. It will come to an end. This is a small thing, or you can say, it is a small statement, but a very big message, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the reality of life in front of us. Allah has unraveled the reality of life in front of us, from the small to the big, from the rich to the poor. Allah ta'ala has described the total sketch within a few words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the color of this world, the reality of this world, the glitter of this world has been put in front of us. Whatever you have, whether it's a small thing or a big thing, kingdom and lands and leadership and respect and people bowing to you, or bank balance, lots of wealth, tall buildings, lots of houses, your wife, your children, whatever you have, ma'indakum. Allah says everything. You have your shirt, your qameez, your cloak, your clocks and watches, whatever you have in this world, ma'indakum. Yanfadu. Allah Ta'ala says this will all come to an end. It will finish. How much, if we have yaqeen on this statement, then all of the things of the world will become detached from. That nothing of this is mine. It will never remain mine. So why do I love it? If somebody says to me, a friend who comes to me, and you love that friend, and you say to him, or he says to you, I have no link with you. Or if a father says to his son, I have no link with you. Imagine, end of relationship, and your heart will be broken. The friend, if he says to you, as such a long time standing friend, says to you, go, be gone with you. I have no relationship with you anymore. Or if your father says, go, be gone with you. Do they have any more love for you? Do they have any more regard for you? They say, go, be gone with you. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us, ma'indakum yanfadu, Allah ta'ala says that everything in this world that you consider as yours, and for all of these things that you consider as yours, you spend all of your time, your life, that this shop is mine, this house is mine, and fighting and quarrels and wars in history for wealth, for assets, for power. This is what's happened, what's happening now, and will continue to happen as long as we don't understand this verse, that nothing in this world is ours. Everything will finish. And how will the things that are attached to us, or do things that we think are ours, how will they finish? How will they come to an end? We see this every day. It's not that it's hidden from our eyesight. It's not. There are two ways of things ending or finishing. One is that we see ourselves in the world, for example, zawal. Yes? That zawal comes where the end comes, where the peak finishes, where the things are ended. For example, you have tragedies or destruction. We see that in the ages have gone by, the powers or people that were on the peaks, they went down, they withered, they diminished, they went weak, or they were finished. We have seen in front of us in our own eyes, or we read in history, people who had big palaces, who had money, who had power. But as the time passed, then as the world plays its tricks, and as the time passes, and as the phases pass, then after some time, that same individual has to bow down in humility. Recently, somebody was saying something, and by chance it's coming to my mind, that there were very rich people, they had the whole city, they had glitter and glow and businesses, and they were famous. A friend was explaining this event, this story, in discussion, and today their hal is such that before the world used to run after them for jobs, and today their hal is that they run after people asking from them. Somebody told me this today. So this is not something full of surprise. This is not something full of surprise. The surprising thing is that why don't we accept this fact? What kind of Muslims are we, believers? Why don't we accept that everything is in the destiny and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why do we cry? Why do we run and grab and snatch things that are not ours? Look in this country, factories, people had assets and buildings and homes and residence. And sometime later we see they're standing in the social security line signing on. Income benefit. This is reality. Everything in this world will come to an end. Everything that we think is ours will come to an end. Either it will end through zawwal, in other words through us going across the peak line, and then going down the other side of the mountain to the low heights, either through that way, through passing through the zawal, passing through the peak times, the strong times, the high times, the good times to the low times. Or the second way we will lose everything, or that everything will finish, is maut, death. And ultimately death is going to come to everybody. And this fact is going to come. Maut did not leave Caesar, did not leave Caesar, did not leave Sikandar, did not leave Alexander. It took everybody away from the face of the earth. Big, big, strong, strong, powerful, powerful people who said, this is my kursi, this is strong, this is my throne, this is my seat. Allah says, kursi samawati wal ard. Allah Ta'ala's kursi, the throne of Allah, is the only kursi that will stay intact forever. People who gave dawah, who made toilets out of gold, taps out of gold, and water droplets used to run through the gold pipes and the gold toilets, the gold rims, the gold seats. And when the zawal came, they ran off like cats and dogs, and they sought refuge in places they could never imagine. But history has demonstrated this in our eyes, in front of our eyes. Allah says, "Ma'indakum," everything you think that is yours will finish. Why do we attach our hearts to this? Why do we run around using our effort and every sinew and strain and effort to try to earn in the world? Why do we utilize all of our energy just to gain temporary things? And then the next day comes, people who are businessmen, oh, the new day has come. Oh, I had the sale of £10,000 yesterday and I'll deposit this. And then another day comes, very happy. Oh, yesterday I had 30,000 and now yesterday I had 10,000. So 30 plus 10 is 40,000. And they consider that they've accomplished something, that they are progressing, that they are advancing. And what's happening in reality is not excess, rather they are going less and less every day. Less is coming to them. They think more is coming to them. You tell me how. I've estimated that they are not adding up, rather they are minusing and subtracting. Rather they are depositing the money. Yes, 10,000 yesterday, 30,000 yesterday equals 40,000, but it's becoming less, not more. Shall I give the example? If I give you a kingdom, leadership, power, and say, for 40 days you have this kingdom. 40 days you are a king. You are the leader. You are the sultan. Yes, now in those 40 days, money is coming into your treasure chest, into the treasury. It's coming. But his days are decreasing. 40, 39, 38, 37. The money is increasing though, increasing. But the days of the kingdom are decreasing. So every day, is his kingdom decreasing, diminishing, or is it getting stronger and more powerful? Every day as it passes, is diminishing, decreasing, lessening the power of his kingdom. Even though the money is increasing, but 40 became 39 days, then 38 days, then 37 days, to the point that the last day has come, his kingdom will finish and the money is increasing, but that's nothing for him because he knows he has to leave the temporary post. Same way your bank balance is increasing, but every day it is telling us you've got less. Today you have less because one day less you have got left in this world. One day more has passed in your life and you have one day less to live in the world to utilize these assets, to utilize. Every day doesn't matter how much you deposit into that account, but you've got less time. So time decreases the wealth. Time decreases the wealth. So why do I try so much? Allah Ta'ala says that you are striving and struggling so much for that dunya that is going to be finished. That's why I said that you are giving all, everything in your life, effort, and struggle for that temporary or those temporary things. Why are you running around for this, Allah Ta'ala says? Why are you struggling? Why are you being bounced around in the world and discarded? Or you stand in front of a machine and every day we put into that machine the card, the debit card or the credit card, and we look at the balance. Every day I see them. The same thing. In the morning you see them, they go to the debit machine, the card machine, the ATM. They don't want to put any money in. They don't want to withdraw any money. They just want to put the card in and get the print out of the balance, because they have got this passion in their life. But if the last breath comes now and we die, then the card's gone, the ATM's gone, the bank balance is gone, and left for the people after you. So the dunya, what does it give us? Dunya is fana. Dunya is fana. Dunya will end. Allah Ta'ala says, this world is fana. But Allah says, oh, I give you baqa. I give you everlasting. I give you what's forever. Allah Ta'ala has given us the sketch of the world. That this dunya, what is it giving you? It is giving you the fana items. Allah says, but I give baqa, I give everlasting, I give you the hereafter which is forever. Allah says, read the Quran, one ayah that I've given to you. What has Allah Ta'ala given us? Quran. Quran. Allah Ta'ala has given us salah, prayer. Allah Ta'ala has given us tahajjud. Allah Ta'ala has given us all the everlasting. Dunya has given us buildings. Dunya has given us cars. Dunya has given us false promises. Dunya has given us temporary satisfaction. What is Allah Ta'ala given to us? وَمَا عِنْدَ لِبَابَ. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you forever. One verse of Quran if you read it. Recite one word. One letter, say. Alif. Alif, Allah says, you recited, you read Alif. It's linked to Allah. The whole world and the universe and what it contains cannot compare to the value of that one Alif. In that word, in the sentence, in that verse of the Quran. This is hadith. No power, no glory, no wealth of the dunya can compare to that alif in the one line of the one verse of the Quran, because it's forever and it will never end. Allah says it is forever, everlasting. So why are we foolish? Why are we stupid? That when we run after the world and bow our heads and sweat our foreheads, is it not better than that we sit and read the Quran? Allah says, I give you Quran. Is it not better that you start to pray tahajjud? Is it not better that you read Ishraq? The prayer after sunrise, is it not good that you read 2 rak'ah salah, 2 units of prayer? Is it not better that you do tasbihat, do dhikr of Allah, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the rosary beads, do tasbihat, or remember Allah however you are. Allah Ta'ala says, every ni'mah bab. Allah says that nothing, no zawal, no time in the world can come that can diminish the power of Allah Ta'ala's rules in the hereafter. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at that. Just grown a garden for yourselves in paradise. No zawal, no storm, no maut, no death. Nothing can take this reward that you've just accrued away from you. The other example Allah says that you will see that this garden increases, increases, increases. It will increase. What will become of it? What will happen? Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. One verse of the Quran. Read it. Alhamdu. Read Alhamdu. 50 rewards just for reading this word. Alhamdu. 50 rewards. Allahu Akbar. What is the good deed? One word of the Quran and the reward you get for it. The reward increases, increases, multiplies, multiplies, heightens, goes up. There's no limit to the reward we will get, to this extreme that that reward will then take a form. It will take a shape. It will take a certain figure. It will change. It will become a nur. It will become a light intensity that when you go on the day of judgment and thereafter, there will be no nur that can compare to that light. You will get the reward. Why don't we read Quran, brothers? Why don't we read Quran? If I ask you to put your hands up, but I won't. If I say, how many of you today have read Quran? Don't put your hands up. Don't put your hands up. No, no, no. Oh, I've read a ruku, my friends, my brothers. 3 lines even if you recite. Even if you're the busiest man in the world, the busiest and most occupied woman of the home, can she not read 3 lines of the Quran? 3 lines are a treasure. And this word I've just said, Alhamdu. This is a garden for you. It's become secure for you in the hereafter. No power of the world will take it from you. When you die, you close your eyes, you will get that reward. Soon as your mouth comes, you'll get that reward. And when the world is looting our assets, when we die, we will leave our assets. And why do we leave the Quran? For the world. Why do I not pray tahajjud? For the world. To run after the world. I'm sacrificing my time, my efforts, tahajjud, Quran, good deeds, the hereafter rewards, forgetting the assets of this world. I'm sacrificing everything, my time, my effort, my energy, my power, my body, everything for this world. And Allah Ta'ala has given us beautiful ni'mas and rewards we can earn in thereafter. And I'm sacrificing all of them for this ghaliz, wretched world, for this temporary world. And Allah Ta'ala says that this world that you are trying to attain for the sake of the hereafter, you don't want the reward of the hereafter. Allah says, this world itself will finish. Your items will finish. They'll be left around here after you die and be distributed and fought over. But Allah says, Ya Baqi Antal Baqi. Allah says, I am everlasting and the world in the hereafter is everlasting. My ism, my name is everlasting. Look at the difference, my brothers. Look at the difference in the comparison we are making. What a great thing. We need to wake up, become alert, come into consciousness. We need to reduce the running after the dunya. The world will not pay us back, brothers, but the hereafter will pay us back. Just run after the world as much as you need. The more you save up, don't think you are increasing your wealth. Rather, every day is decreasing your wealth, because the number of days you have left in this world to utilize and consume that wealth are less. If I have 10, 50,000 and tomorrow I die, or today I die, then that's gone. That wealth is gone. It's nothing for me. When the ocean passes by, yes, when Alexander the Great, that was the title he was given, Sikandar Azam, very few people were given the title Azam, and he died after 30 years. And he was in a battle, the arrow came, his time came up, he thought he was going to conquer the world. And people used to say he used to do dhulm, oppression, injustice, and he used to have victory when he used to win. And there was nothing compared to his power. But one arrow came. And what was his desire that time? That if only I could stay alive more, that I could go and see and die in my own home country. But his desire did not finish. On the way back, he died. He said, when I die, then do this, that take my hands out of my coffin that are empty, so that I can become a warning. The Sikandar has left this world empty-handed. Empty-handed. This was his desire. And the Quran is telling us, you are believers, Muslim, people who believe in Allah, and Allah Ta'ala has given us that ilm, that knowledge. He's given us iman, He's given us reward, belief, the treasure. The Quran was not given to a disbeliever. Tahajjud Salah has not been given to a disbeliever, has it? Ishraq prayer after sunrise, has it been given to a person who doesn't believe in Allah? One word, Allah, cannot come onto the tongue of the disbeliever. Why? Why? So why have we got this? Why? For this reason, that all we did, we said Allah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, we believe in Allah, we believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we didn't say this, Allah Ta'ala made us say this. Oh Allah, we're so grateful to you. And for saying this kalima, this statement of belief, Allah Ta'ala has given us so many mountains of rewards, so many greats. Iman, due to having iman in our hearts, Allah has given us so many rewards. Allah says, look, recite one durood on my Nabi, I will send you 70 mercies. Me and my angels will do dua for you. When we get up on the day of judgment with one ni'mah, one gift of Allah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in this world, due to which so many mercies will come into our life. But no, I want a Mercedes. I don't want to read durood. I don't want to read Quran. And these people who have these desires don't ever read the rood in their life. People who sit on their thrones, who are owners of wealth for generations, and the world comes to them and says salam, and they have big, big, tall, tall buildings and respect, and they're in this country and they're in other countries, and they're maruf, they are famous all around, they've got security. And if you tell them to read Qullu Allahu Ahad, he couldn't even recite. I'm telling you, in this day and age, he couldn't even read Surah Ikhlas. Muslim, and the world was amazed when they heard this. And dunya, the world, that we say the world is ours, that is going to diminish and finish. And he's sitting there and thinks everything is mine. And from his tongue, he didn't even know what he was barking. One child will recite Surah Ikhlas to you, but he couldn't read Surah Ikhlas. And he tried Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and he couldn't read the rest. He didn't even remember it. He didn't have the importance of it. And why do we cry upon others? I say, let's look upon ourselves. Let's look inside ourselves. How much do I read? How many tasbihah do I do? How much dhikr do I do? How do I pass my time? Yani Allah Ta'ala has given us such a life that every second of a mu'min, every second of a believer is valuable, precious, should be earning the hereafter. It should be earning, it should be glittering his hereafter. Every believer should be using every second of this life to sparkle his after. Allah says, when you say Allah, 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 then that land you are sitting on becomes Jannah. You're sitting in the shopping center. The world is passing by you. The shopping center, music and fahish. And you close your eyes and say Allah. For them it's bazaar, the shopping center. And for you, that place you're sitting on doing dhikr is Jannah. Around them are shaitan, around you are the angels. Difference between you and them is from the earth to the heavens are angels doing dua for you. For them is adab in the shopping center, and for you is rahmah, mercy. They're in the bazaar and you're in the bazaar. You are buying in the shop and they are also buying in the shop. They are doing the wrong things, you are doing the right thing. You are remembering Allah. There's one man in the world. He says to the dunya, the world is for me. He's buying stock. You have gone to the meat shop. He's buying meat. You're buying meat. You are buying meat. With you are the malaik. They're sending rahmah and mercies upon you. And he's buying meat, not doing dhikr. And the shaitan's with him. Shaitan's with him. Look at the difference between the two individuals. The difference. This is what Allah Ta'ala says. That everything will finish. Allah Ta'ala has put both together. That everything you've got in this world will come to an end. Will finish. But the world in the hereafter is everlasting. So do you understand that? Don't waste one second. Allah Ta'ala has given us such a life. Read Quran. Write it down that every day it's a must to recite Quran. This is such a reward that there's nothing that can compare to this. There's nothing that can compare to this. This is such a nur, a light Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Quran. And we think that there's no point, no value. To this extent, Allah Ta'ala says, forget about reading, even listening to the Quran is such a great deed. Listening to the Quran is such a great deed that you cannot imagine. Such great rewards Allah Ta'ala has put aside just for listening to the Quran, to one verse of the Quran. So brothers, the point is this, that it is very important fact we need to realize that today we are living in the world, we're not animals. Look at the lion, such a big animal. If he runs after us, he'll make us run circles around everywhere. Or if the elephant comes, it's so high and powerful and strong. Have you seen the cheetah, the bear, even a dog, a big dog? Look at a small dog, it's an animal. And we think we're the best. And which insan who's been told he's Ashraf, you are bigger than the lion, you are bigger, stronger than the elephant, stronger than all of the animals in front of you, but you are small in terms of power. If the elephant comes and introduces itself to me and tells me, who am I and you are this, O human being? But if we introduce ourselves properly to the elephant and present ourselves in the way we should, Ashraf al-Mukhlaq, the elephant will bow in front of us. Subhanallah. So if a man, a human being, introduces himself to the animals, I am Ashraf, I have a link with Allah, wa ma indallah. Everything is linked with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what? How can an animal dare? Can an animal dare? This is common things. The animals are common things. The makhluk, the creatures, the animals of Allah, they know Allah. So obviously they recognize Allah ta'ala's creation. Ashraf al-makhlukat, the believers. So we are dying for fana. For the world which is temporary, which will end. Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala has given us ni'mas, rewards. We should go towards those rewards. And another point I'd like to mention in passing. Allah Ta'ala has given us another great advice, that there's also a situation that when we see the ni'mas of Allah, when we attain them and we diminish the things of the world, then you will get a pain, you will get obstacles, you will get issues, you will get problems that, oh, I'm running away from the world, I'm trying to get the rules of the hereafter, people are enjoying themselves in the world, or I'm sitting here doing dhikr, people are outside enjoying themselves, mazeh, we are sitting here in the masjid, reading Quran. Many people in their hearts, they have a desire, I want to go out, there's glitter and glow and business and flourishing and money and transactions and profit. We're sitting here in a loss. We can't enjoy ourselves in the world. Other people are enjoying themselves, running around laughing and etc. My friends, yes, this will happen. This situation may come into your life. But don't worry, Allah says, I'll give you the example. That, for example, somebody's wedding. You know there are weddings in society. And you know that in the weddings there are a lot of negative things nowadays. There's a lot of negative and immoral actions in weddings. And there's color and glow and mixing and laughter and other fahishat that you know. Now, in comparison to the wedding party, enjoyment, and a person says, no, I don't want to attend this. This is all going to finish. Why don't I make this wedding baqa? So what does he do? He restricts that wedding. That every this wedding, because wedding is a big thing, that let me make this baqa. So he rejects all the kharafat, he ends and annihilates the wrong things, and the wretchedness and the curses will get, the swearing, his parents will make him feel bad and low, and they'll make him feel wretched, that how comes you're not enjoying this, celebrating this wedding in the way of the world today, and the muashara, the society, they'll laugh at him and joke at him and jest at him, because he's restricting the wedding celebrations within the boundaries of Islam. They'll say, where is this written? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing this custom, this tradition, this enjoyment? So Allah Ta'ala says, ajarnahum bi ahsani bima kanu ya'malun. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the greatest reward, O my servant, for doing things the correct way. Do not fear, my servant. If you follow the rules, if you have sabr and patience, ajrahum. Allah says, ajrahum bi ahsani ma kanu ya'lamun. Allah says, the ajr you'll get, you are sacrificing your desires in this world. Allah says, the ajr I'll give you in the hereafter, you cannot imagine. You've not wasted your time. You've not wasted this celebration. Number one, this function of yours, Allah says, I've made it baqa. Everlasting, this whole wedding of yours has become baqa, reward for you in the hereafter. Forever you will get the reward of this, is written. And secondly, that the pains and the difficulties you got for this wedding, in creating this circumstance, you did the wedding with a good tarteeb. So for this, what do you do? Ajrahum bi'ahsani. You will get the great, great reward. And on top of that, Allah says, I've prepared for you great, great reward. And don't worry, you won't have difficulties in this world. Rather, you get rewards. What we realize for the mu'min, that if a mu'min, if a believer, does a certain action for the sake of Allah, baqa, for the sake of everlasting reward. So if he gets pain, difficulty, and gets laughed at and joked and mocked at and jested at this world, don't worry. Have patience. Stand firm. The world will finish. And all the laughter will finish. But you'll get the reward here forever and hereafter. For example, if you're doing business for the sake of the world, then that business will be for now. But that same business, if you're doing it in the style, if you're running it in the style with a link with Allah, and for the hereafter rewards, then that business becomes baqa. You will have to save yourself from haram, from interest, from lying, and you will have to fulfill, pray all your salah and fulfill the orders of Allah, the ahkams of Allah. You'll have to give zakat full. You'll have to be just with people, give equally to people what they deserve. You'll have to have qanaat, satisfaction, content, not running left and right. I want this, I want that, I want this business, that transaction, or this enterprise, or I want to get a massive empire. No, spend more time with qanaat, peace, satisfaction, and you're steadfast. No, let me get this business, that business, big dreams. And not this type of business. A business should be smooth, good transactions, and his requirements have been fulfilled with respect. And more of his time after business and transaction and eating, he closes his business and he then spends the time on baqa. Not all day long, 24 hours a day after business. Halal business doesn't mean all day long, all night long you run your business and you don't do nothing else, traveling and flying. Let me promote this and spread this. That's not spreading. That's not going to spread. That's going to go into the drain. That's not even come to your hand. Rather, it's diminishing. Better way is this, that do hisab this much. This is the amount I need, my expenses, my eating, my drinking, nicely, in a nice way. I need a car, a nice car. I need to eat nicely. Okay, alhamdulillah, I need clothes, nice clothes, alhamdulillah. And according to that, if money comes to you, finished. The rest of the time, spend on baqa. Everlasting, everlasting baqa. Do the deeds that will give you. If you spend with the fadl of Allah, then spend tahajjud, ishraq, and nawafil and voluntary. Don't waste the time. And Allah Ta'ala says, 8 hours of working, I'll give you all the expenses you need. I have seen in my life, I never worked more than 8 or 9 hours. Or maybe I did 7 hours, but I didn't work more than 7 hours in the day. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala gave full in that time. I worked maximum 7 hours in that day. And Allah gave me for as much as I needed. But I said, no, let's work another hour. Let's take another order. Or let's take another transaction. How much of your time you're wasting in this fana and baqa? Tell me. In that time you could have recited Quran. You could have sat with your shaykh. You could have done dhikr of Allah. Look at the deeds you've left. Imagine. Why have you left them? But the things you've collected, the mal, the wealth, that is fana. That will finish. That will diminish. That will be annihilated. Don't you understand what I'm saying? So in this, Janab, my brothers, so the pain we get in our nafs, in our desires, if we think I could have worked more and made more, Allah Ta'ala promises that He will give in comparison to that. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you bima kanu ya'malun. I will appreciate and value that you had sabr. You didn't run after the dunya. And Allah says, you will forget the sacrifices you made, the efforts and the struggles you made in the world to attain wealth. Allah says, I'll give you more than you need in the world to live, and you'll get the thawab. That time that we wasted for the world, 8, 10, 12 hours, our eyes were red, and this wealth we are accruing, it's not even ours, it's not even going to be ours, but I just have that passion. I want to see the wealth and the bank balance. I want to see a lot of money so I can go to the machine, the ATM, and see the balance on the screen. I have no other desire. Tell me, can you spend all of that money you've got in your bank? Can you? Until today, I've never seen anybody spend every single penny he's got. Apart from that person who's mad, who just keeps looking at cars. Even he's an old man and he's looking at the balance on the ATM display screen. Tell me. And people walking past him, they say, he's mad. What's happened to him? What's happened to this person? Because he's become intoxicated. But the person who is not in love with the world, he knows I've got this much wealth. This is the fadl wala. I don't know when I'm going to die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in comparison to that, if He gives you recitation of Quran, dhikr of Allah, you read tahajjud, ishraq, the morning prayer, the sunrise prayer, is that better or running after the world, all four corners, north, south, east, west, trying to save money? Then do justice with yourself. Allah ta'ala does insaf and justice. Allah ta'ala said a beautiful, ma'indakum yanfadu. Wa ma'indallahi. Allah Ta'ala says it's forever, the hereafter, and this world is temporary. So we should make this character and framework. What a framework? That we should have so much link with this world, the amount of time proportionately that we're going to live in this world. How much link should we have with this world? Attachment? The amount of time proportionately. How much link do you have with the toilet? The amount of time you spend in the toilet. Have you ever decorated your bathroom and toilet and stayed there all day long? Have you ever put a fan there and fragrances and decorations and furniture? Only the foolish people do this, the people who don't know. But until today, no one's thought this. How much time do you spend in the bathroom, the toilet? The amount of time you need to spend there, that is necessary. After that, you say, get out, there's a smell. I don't need to stay here. So those people whose nostrils open up for the hereafter, then they feel and smell the stench of this world. They feel the stench in money, in counting the money, in the wallets. They say, quickly get this money out of my wallet, let me spend it for the sake of Allah. And the people who's haq the right, give it to them and get light and ease the burden. Because their life and nose and life and body smell the fragrance in Allah Ta'ala's deen, in dhikr Allah, in waking up at the tahajjud time, in giving sadaqah, in giving charity. That's where they feel the taste and satisfaction. So what's the point? Make a lifestyle such that you detach yourself, dissociate yourself from the world. Yes, remember the mistress, you cannot have a mistress. For example, if you got 1, 2, 3, 4 wives, but if you want more than that, you have to leave one. If you don't leave one, then you cannot have the other person on top of that. Or for example, a person who's married and he has a mistress, you cannot have two mistresses. side by side. Yes, doesn't matter how much you think that you've got the wife in the home and you want the other mistress in the home, you can give gold and silver to the other one. No, you have to bow your head, both of them will beat you. You have to give equality, 100%. So a person, for example, if he has his full allotment, then he has to divorce. Or he has to, before he can continue along that path. So in the world, you can't just have both things. That money keeps on coming, pounding upon pounding into the pocket. And you can get akhirah and have the love of the dunya. And hereafter, no. You can only have one love, one muhabbat. So with regards to the world, have qanaat, contentment, satisfaction. Don't run after it too much for the wealth of the world and money. Because remember, never will the thirst be quenched from the wealth of the world. Ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah just give me enough Allah, that I can survive and do the shukr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala after that. Oh, what's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? Forget it. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give the fadl. And when you have to pay the bills, inshallah, everything will be there to pay the bills. Allah Ta'ala says the electricity will run out itself if you don't have the wealth to pay for it, so you don't have to worry about it. Don't worry about the dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, detach your love from the world and attach the love for the hereafter. That's all we have to do. This should become our basis, our framework. That's why we're collected here, assembled here together. Our maqsad objective to come today is that we decrease the attachment and love of the world in our hearts and increase the attachment and the love of the hereafter. We should have that much love in our heart for the world, the amount of time proportionally we're going to live there. And we should have that much love and regard for the hereafter, the amount of time proportionally we're going to live there. And you know how much time we're going to live in the hereafter forever. So think, prepare, plan for the hereafter, the amount of time you're going to live there. And when we die, we shouldn't even worry that we're dying. Because Allah, we are coming to you. Allah, we were waiting. Allah, we had to come to you. We never loved this world because we knew we were going to come to you. So how does this happen? How do you get these two things? I will come to the topic again. Where do you get these things from? I come back to the original point. How do you get the preparation of the hereafter? And how do you decrease the love of the world? Number one, from two things. You get the company of those people who themselves have divorced themselves physically from the world. If you have their company, you'll say, he's done talaq from the world. Let me do talaq from the world. Let me divorce myself from the love of the world. He's eating, he's drinking, he's not hungry. So why am I crying? Then you'll get this courage. He's living the life without a big car. I can do that. He has a Mercedes. Why do I need a Mercedes? So sit with the people who have dissociated themselves from the world. Inshallah, you'll also get the courage and you'll divorce yourself from the world. And these people are the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. So make friendship with them, have company with them. And then do the actions they do. And to get the love of thereafter, they've done one action. Dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. You do dhikr Allah and the love of the world will diminish, decrease in your heart, and the love of the hereafter will increase. These two actions we have to do. Number one, have company, attachment with the walis of Allah. And number two, dhikr of Allah. And then you can decrease the love of the world. And from morning to night, you can earn so much, so much, so much for the hereafter that you sleep in the night a rich, wealthy man of the hereafter. And the people of paradise will say, oh, he's so rich. He's a billionaire. He's earned so much for the hereafter. Oh man, we're so jealous of him. This billionaire's coming. He's dying, he's coming, he's going to join us. He's got big palaces and mansions and lands. He's got factories and mills, and the angels will look at him in envy and pride. And so many angels will do dua for him. When a person does amal here, deeds, then the angels in paradise start constructing for him. Construction engineers, architects, civil engineers. Sometimes the angels are standing by the side or sitting, and they ask, why are you sitting? They're saying, but there's no supply of materials from the world because that man's not practicing, and we're sitting free. We've got no employment. He's stopped. So never let your angels be free, unemployed, my friends. Make them fully utilized. 100% productivity, morning, evening, do dhikr Allah, dhikr Allah, dhikr Allah, so your angels in the hereafter are busy constructing for you. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, recite Durood Sharif.
Kehto hai mundo meri meri kehta hai bando meri meri na ye teri na ye meri kehta hai bando meri meri kehta hai bando meri meri na ye teri na ye meri odak de vich mitti di teri keh to hai mundo meri